and welcome to the Badger Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
This is Paul Sickle.
Happy New Year, Paul.
To you as well.
Yeah.
Happy 2020. It's finally here.
It is. We took a little winter break so we could enjoy some time with our respective families and enjoy the holidays. And now reality is setting in. There's a lot.
Got a little Uncle Rick time in over the holidays. I got to hear about how it was actually his son talking about how he doesn't like Trump, but you have to respect Trump for the economy and the transparency, that he's the most transparent president ever.
Is that right?
Yeah. We didn't really get into Iran yet. I don't know what the talking points are, but it's probably something that the Democrats are sympathizers with Iran.
Oh, I'm sure. That's right up their alley.
But, I mean, you know, Uncle Rick's and his son were all, like, excited because Trump was anti-war before, and he had the courage to call the Iraq war a mistake.
Yeah, well, and he several times before he was president, and when Obama was still president, he continuously called out Obama, saying that he was going to start a war with Iran to save his presidency, and all this nonsense.
He didn't. Well, it was funny because it was all the hawkish righties who were like so hawkish, you know, in 2003, right before the Iraq war, right, all the way through the 2004 election, and all of a sudden they hated wars and Bush. And
funny how things change.
Now that we're back, again, we're all sympathizers with the enemy.
Yeah.
Even though Obama couldn't possibly have been responsible for going after bin Laden and was falsely claiming credit and was intervening or whatever.
So since the last time we recorded, the House did pass impeachment of Donald J. Trump. We were wondering,
the president
leading
was
up
impeached.
To it, we're wondering leading up to it whether or not Ron Kind was going to support the articles, which he ultimately did in the end, which I was a little bit surprised by. But
I was too.
But I think he probably realizes he needs to maintain his base of support, and he probably figures, as I think we do, that this will be old news by the time the election happens in
November. And at the end of the day, impeachment was bleeding a lot of support during November, and then it's kind of leveled off.
Yeah.
Now Trump doesn't appear to be gaining support. There are people saying, well, the white women are lying in the pollsters. They don't want to admit they'll still vote for Trump. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't appear that there's been a surge in popularity for Trump.
Sure.
There was somewhat of an uptick, and it seems to have cooled off for Trump.
His approval is right around 42-43%, which is kind of where it's hovered for a lot of his presidency.
He continues to tout the economy. I think that the economy continues to be basically the same economy it was under Obama, only with bigger deficits.
There's some signs now that the market might be going towards a correction, but we don't know.
I mean, I've heard a lot of different things on this one.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the ultimate impact of recent events is going to be. You know, the whole thing with the Iran situation this past week has been eventful, let's say. I mean, the Iranian general, Soleimani, killed in an attack approved by the president a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And now Iran has retaliated today, late today. Iran has hit a number of bases in Iraq.
Well, and it started that they did something outside the embassy.
This is kind of all this whole thing started. There was this mass protest outside the American embassy in Baghdad. So this is a whole tit-for-tat that's going on right now. Iran has retaliated
with an airstrike.
And the president is not issuing any statement until tomorrow, so we don't know what the next step is, if this is going to continue to escalate into something terrible, or if this is going to go in a different direction. I don't
Meanwhile, a Ukrainian airliner went down.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is the country's involved in this story, because it was a Boeing 737 took off from Tehran this evening and crashed in Iran. It was headed to Ukraine, had about 180 people on board. Not a lot of details are available right now, but they're citing a technical problem with the plane as the cause.
It could be.
It's just that it's just very bad timing, given everything else that's going on. It just wasn't. So we'll see. We'll learn more about that, I imagine, in the next, next day or so.
So on impeachment, it appears that the Senate is poised to do a very quick acquittal.
Nancy Pelosi has not sent the articles over yet. And
but now Mitch McConnell has his caucus 100% in line.
Yeah, he's got
with, Senator Romney,
yep.
Senator Collins,
Senator Susan Collins. Yep.
So well, this idea of Republicans for principle, which I knew wasn't going to surface.
Don't hold your breath. It's not happening. The Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee is going to send money to re-elect Susan Collins.
It never was going to happen, let's be honest.
I mean, people shouldn't put all
their faith
in
that's why I've always been flummoxed by this escapade. You know, of course, I think what he did was probably impeachable. I think it's just one of many things that are impeachable, though, in my opinion, at least.
Well, and given what's going on with Iran right now, we don't know where this is going and how bad it's going to get. He's a president that campaigned against these endless wars in the Middle East and focusing on, you know, America first and all this, and that seems like that's out the window now.
Right. So the Rolling Stone article, which we put up on our Facebook page, we highly recommend reading. It just points out all the hypocrisy, how he called Obama a warmonger.
Right, right.
Starting one, he started a war with Iran to get reelected. It clearly looks like that's what's happening here.
Well, but then again, he obviously didn't do that, and they ultimately had a treaty, in essence, that resulted in inspections and checks on uranium production.
Promptly throughout.
Yeah, so then
and all the neocons
this whole exercise with Iran then just falls into line with Trump trying his damnedest to not do what Obama did. When he doesn't know what to do, he just does the opposite of what Obama did.
We have Boris Johnson reprimanding Trump for his proposal to bomb Iranian heritage sites, which is a war crime.
Well, yeah, it's against the agreement from the Hague back in the 50s.
Yeah,
this is not something that is respectable in the least, and anybody that defends it is just it's terrible.
While it may be seen as a political gambit by Trump, it may not be a very successful one,
given where we've been these past couple of decades with all the stuff in Iraq, all the stuff in Afghanistan as well. There's war fatigue here. So I wonder how much of an appetite the American public and even people that support this president, I wonder how far they're going to go to defend this.
Some of his base.
Yeah.
I do think that it reminds people of what they don't like or don't trust about Trump.
Sure.
In many ways. Especially when he starts talking about bombing World Heritage Sites or committing war crimes.
Yeah. So closer to home.
It makes us feel like, one thing I would say closer to home too, because we're going to talk about the Democratic primary in a second.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like it kind of plays into the hands of a Biden or even a Buttigieg. Both have foreign policy experience. Buttigieg is a former soldier. Biden is a longtime senator, former vice president,
and heavily,
decades of diplomatic experience.
Yeah, heavily involved in foreign policy during his career.
Right, right. So it makes me feel like both of them, if there really is a need in the long run for us to have an engagement in the Middle East, and unfortunately there may be, if there is a need, I think most Americans would prefer somebody with a steadier hand.
A little more measured.
Trump may try to rally people around the flag, but I think all it does is serve to remind us of how erratic, almost unstable he seems.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where this thing goes in the days ahead. So when you look at this election playing out, we have the situation in Wisconsin with the voter rolls. The Ozaukee County judge...
If you can't win a majority, cheat and suppress the majority.
Well, a judge last month ordered the State Elections Commission to purge thousands of people from the rolls that they believed may have moved. And the Election Commission, in response, has refused to do so. So
they believe may have moved, even though it's notoriously an unreliable database.
That's
makes a mistake at least 5 to 10% of the time. And we're talking about 230,000. You're talking about potentially 23,000 people being purged, which would be the exact margin that Trump won the state by. So this may be maybe a desperate attempt by the right to win at the margins. And it becomes more clear that that may be the case when you look at where the purge occurred, mostly.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is really driving this
thing.
It's a
law firm that's entirely funded by right-wing interest groups like the Koch brothers and the Bradley Foundation.
Right. They sued the commission last month to force them to purge the rolls. This judge in Ozaukee County said that they have to. And then the conservative organization appealed directly to the Supreme Court, wanting them to issue a ruling forcing them to do so. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the Election Commission actually appealed it to the Court of Appeals.
And it's deadlocked.
And, which, right now, as this broke earlier this evening as well, the appeals court is saying that they're going to stay out of the case for the time being.
Yeah, but the Elections Commission is deadlocked on whether or not to act.
Yes, because it's evenly divided. I believe it's 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans that make up the commission membership.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's no decision.
Right.
Right now, we don't know where this is going to go. I think the appeals court holding off is a sign that they're waiting for the Supreme Court to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, they could ultimately say, like, yes, you have to, and then that's kind of it,
mm-hmm.
unless they go federal. I think maybe by biding their time, what they're hoping is if the Supreme Court declines to take the case, then maybe the appeals court steps in, makes a decision down the road. Maybe it's a run-out-the-clock situation. I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here. But
so practically speaking, what this means is that, and we saw they used this system called ERIC. The ERIC system was used before the 2018 cycle,
mm-hmm.
and it purged several hundred thousand voters from the Wisconsin rolls,
okay.
including 43,000 in the city of Milwaukee, many of which were wrong.
Yeah.
And we saw and met people who were told they had to re-register when they went and voted. Both it started, the first reports came out of Green Bay in the primary for, I believe, Supreme Court in 2018. And the reports continue to be more numerous. By the end of the cycle, the system was considered to be so faulty that the Elections Board, which was largely created by the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
said that we should go ahead and reactivate everybody's registration or have a second poll book in order to effectively honor people's registrations.
Well, in the meantime, I think we just have to operate under the assumption that this Supreme Court is going to uphold whatever is good for the Republicans.
Absolutely.
And hopefully get people to be more proactive with the registration or, you know,
I think it's highly likely that a federal appeal will eventually reverse this.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I think that what you said is right. The good news is we still have same-day voter registration.
Yes, thank
you.
So goodness.
If everybody in the state can be told to get their registration, bring their registration documents with them to the poll, yep. and assume they're unregistered.
Well, they could do it online these days, too, right? So.
Well, yeah, but then who knows if they'll send out another mailing. I mean, I think the trust in that will be iffy. I think that you should do that, but even that's a iffy kind of thing, the online registration. And so I think what you're going to have to do is go to the polls with your registration document.
So other election news, we're about a month away from the Iowa caucus.
Mm-hmm.
So how are things shaping up there? Looks like we have, according to the latest YouGov poll, we have a 3-way tie for first place between Mr. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Pete Buttigieg.
And the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Yeah,
Elizabeth Warren, not far behind. So Sanders, Biden, Buttigieg, according to YouGov, are each at 23%, and Warren is at 18%. Klobuchar bring up the rear at 7%, and then the rest are single digits as well.
All things equal, I think Buttigieg wins Iowa. I think he'll have real appeal. I bet you he'll get large support from fairly small, but I'm sure vocal LGBTQ communities in parts of the state. I think that the idea that he can't win with African Americans is a red herring.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him score some major endorsements. I don't see Elizabeth Warren pulling it off. I see her coming in. Her and Bernie coming in sort of a collision course in New Hampshire.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, they're both kind of splitting that same base of voters right now. And if one of them were to drop out, which obviously mm-hmm. won't happen, at least until the early primaries are mm-hmm. done, I think Warren is... Her campaign is suffering right now because I think she's peaked. And
Well, one could say Buttigieg trajectory. Has as well.
Yeah,
but
he's still tied.
And even his national numbers have started to, they were falling off pretty mm-hmm. good, and now they're leveling off. So I think he's around 7.5%, 8% nationally. I think it's a pulse. I think he's got to make a move and win the state. But I think if he does, I think you're going to see him be
one of the major forces.
He has to perform in Iowa, either first or second place, I think, to really have any kind of momentum. Because when you look at New Hampshire, he's in fourth place right now, again, according to the YouGov poll. Sanders is leading with 27%, Biden just behind him at 25%, Warren at 18%, Boot at 13%, Klobuchar again at 7%. I continue to hang on to this idea that the Democratic primary in 2020 is really reminiscent of the Wisconsin primary for governor in 2018, where
possibly
where Evers was just the guy that hung around forever and he pulled it out in the end. And I feel like Biden's just that guy. Biden might be that guy. I don't know.
Bloomberg is starting to make a little noise at the national level.
Bloomberg's
going to
spend a ton of money. He already has. He's got an office here now in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And
that's probably his biggest problem, in my opinion. Or Buttigieg's biggest problem is that Bloomberg may eat away at some of the pragmatic moderate throat.
Sure.
The natural constituency Bloomberg should steal from is Biden.
Hmm.
Interestingly enough, we have a Super Bowl ad for $10 million being bought by Donald Trump today.
Yes.
That's a lot of money, even for an incumbent president to spend on a single ad spot. Michael Bloomberg has also bought $10 million of airtime during the Super Bowl.
He's matching it, huh?
He actually bought it before the Donald did.
Oh, so maybe he was the impetus.
God knows he has it. One thing I gotta say with Bloomberg, ever since he's gotten in, Trump's surge has started to level off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it has something to do with, if you watch a Bloomberg ad, it looks like a super PAC ad against Trump.
Yeah.
That's the good news from Bloomberg. I really think that we may love him or hate him, we may owe him a debt of gratitude if we defeat Trump.
Sure.
His polls have leveled off.
Well, we'll see where this thing...
And then, in fact, he's one of the least popular incumbents to run for re-election.
Since Gerald Ford, apparently.
Right, there you go.
So, yeah, lots going on. We'll have more next time around. We'll see where this Iran stuff goes. We'll have more leading up to the Iowa caucus and the primaries thereafter.
Go Boot!
It's 2020. It's 2020. It's time for the marathon.
Boot it forward!
All right. Forward.